those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Hello everyone and welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. And we've got almost a full crew this week. We do have all of our hosts. We do have Ian Anderson.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. We also have Mike Dineen.
Hello.
Calling from her undisclosed man-sized coffin, or man-sized safe, I think was the term used all those years ago. Ashley, hey.
Hello. Oh my God.
Wow.
Are you in quarantine?
Hello.
Did you watch Contagion recently?
Yeah, she's cosplaying Contagion.
Yeah.
No.
Oh no. I am not.
Good.
So we're not going to spread any rumors about Ashley today, right?
No. Well, we're going to try.
Okay. We'll try.
Looking at our outline, we may spread one or two accidentally, but you know.
How's the baby coming along?
We'll see what we can do.
Shut up.
Oh, God.
No, Jeff this week, though.
Jeff is also pregnant.
Yes, he's also pregnant. He's actually won't be here for probably another couple weeks. He has decided he's going to be a rock star, and all of his bands are recording right now. So he will be he'll be out of action for the next couple weeks. So all you Jeff fans, I apologize. But
yeah. Oh, you better apologize to me.
He sends his love.
He is an awesome engineer. So
he is. So I'm really going to miss the fact that he's actually going to edit the show, because I might actually have to do it this week. So
expect the next couple episodes to suck, kids.
No, the content will still suck. It's just they won't be edited quite as tightly, I guess.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Jeff's a magician with this
show. He is. So anyway, we got lots to talk about and yet not very much to talk about, which is kind of the name of the show.
Yeah, really. When we were discussing stories, I thought, you know, for TGS going on right now, there's not a whole lot to talk about yet.
There's not shit to talk about.
Yeah, I wonder if we're not getting to the meat of TGS yet, the Tokyo Game Show, or if there's just not much being announced there this year.
Well, there's an overall theme of the Tokyo Game Show, which seems to be Nintendo sucks. And Sony is going to be the king in 2012, apparently.
Yeah. Yes. That's actually the subtitle. That's actually the subtitle of this year's Tokyo Game Show. It's Tokyo Game Show, Nintendo. What the hell?
As Microsoft leaves the shores, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Microsoft's like, well, we already own that land over there, you see? The one where there's like 290 million people? We own that. So you two do.
We don't need you people.
But if you're listening, we still love you.
Yes.
No, we're saying Microsoft does it. We would love Japan.
Yeah, we do.
I would
Japan.
Love to be the biggest podcast in Japan. I think that'd be hilarious.
Yeah. So if you're listening to us, get that started.
I think we're the biggest podcast in Belarus, which is also good. I'm not saying.
Hey, I'm all about that.
I love the Belarusians.
Yeah.
I think that's what you call them.
David Hasselhoff's music career may have not taken over in the United States.
Belaruskis?
But in Europe, it did.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's true. Germany, especially.
Exactly.
Yes. But Tokyo Game Show, not a whole lot going on, but we'll talk about that in a bit because we have other things going on besides that. And we're actually going to start with a game that no one here has played, but Jeff, our missing person, has played.
And I really want to play.
That was good planning on our part. But a brand new game, Dead Island, getting a lot of press, a lot of very mixed reactions. I know Tycho from Penny Arcade, who's kind of my
doppelganger.
Much more popular doppelganger, has called it very PC game in the fact that it's very buggy and very broken in many ways, but also there's a lot of potential there. So
yeah.
I'm kind of excited, but I'll have to wait till a couple of games I'm finished. But there was a story now about somebody digging through the PC code, I guess.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not a developer or anything, but I guess back in the day, it was kind of common for developers to hide things in game codes because I guess it was a good way to show that they were attached to the project or they actually did it, even if maybe they didn't have their credits in the actual or their name in the credits. So somebody was going through code. Somebody on Steam, it was actually a forum member, actually shared that a selection of the code is called Feminist Whore Perna, is what the whole like line of text is. and I don't know what it's for. They're thinking it's some type of ability that
the theory that I heard is that there's a character in the game called Perna.
Right.
And she has an ability that I think is called like Gender War now.
Yeah, it's like Gender Wars, and it grants her extra damage against men. So,
which I think every female has that ability, just mm-hmm. innate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's called, yeah, it's Feminist or Perna. So, obviously, this has upset some people.
No.
Yeah.
Ian, it's okay. It's
except
okay.
I would say, why are you digging in code?
Yeah.
You know? I guess that's mine. Like, I don't like that feminist horror, but still, you're digging in code, and it's, I'm sure it's not supposed to be serious. But anyways.
Well, so it sounded like that was what they wanted to call that ability at one point.
It could be, or it could be someone's clever way to just name it while they're getting pissed off at the code and trying to get it working. So you make some little punchy thing that makes you feel good in the moment, thinking, no one's going to see this, and then they see it.
And except some bored 16-year-old yeah. is like, I'm going to read the code.
And which confuses me. It has to be more like some, you know, I haven't seen the story, but it has to be like some kind of XML file or something like that. Because if it's actually the C or C++ code, you shouldn't be able to read that unless they're not stripping out their binaries for the geeks out there.
Yeah, I don't...
In English, please.
Yeah, conspiracy theory. It sounded like that was. I'm not sure.
Please no, take
not
off really. Your tinfoil hat, sir.
No, you have the ability to kind of strip out some of the strings from binaries when you ship them. But yeah, I mean, you got to dig pretty hard. I mean, people got pissed off at Hot Coffee. And that was actually functional code in there. This is just a name or a string in some file. I don't know. That's my reaction.
Yeah, so Techland, the developer, I would
yes.
assume.
Yeah, that's the developer.
So here's one of the managers. The brand manager over at Techland. It obviously violates professional and ethical standards at Techland and should never have happened. We're investigating this right now and will issue a statement later. For now, I can only express my sincerest apologies for this incident and assure you that whoever acted so irresponsibly did not represent the views and opinions of Techland. I'm equally sure that aside from the author of that unfortunate line of code, everyone at the office is as disturbed as by this as I am. So, they're trying to cover their butts, which is obvious. But again, it's just like, it's code. It's not supposed to be found necessarily. It's not, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. That kind of bugs me. Who else? Oh, the publisher, Deep Silver, they made a statement saying these unfortunate actions were of one individual at the developer company Techland and do not in any way represent the views of the publishing company Deep Silver. So people are apologizing. I guess this is why I'm not a PR person, I'd be like, don't read our code. We don't think that feminist horror is funny, but work on code for 2 years and just try to amuse yeah. yourself somehow.
Especially a game like that that's in production for that. I mean, like, somebody's bound to put something off color in there. Not saying that they should, and if you're a developer, you should definitely behave yourself when naming things inside code. But I think Ashley, you have a really good point. At the end of the day, they ship you a game that you can play, and if you play the game, you know, execute the game within Steam and all of that, you won't see the feminist whore Perna name.
Right.
It's when you really dig into it. So it's like, it's not something necessarily public facing. It's not even an instruction manual or something like that. You have to really dig at it. And I think that's what kind of bugs me, is that I hope this doesn't garner a huge uproar and just, you know, there's a few people that are pissed off and that's fine. And I feel like the publisher and the developer, they said kind of what the legalese would be, is like, we're mm-hmm. sorry, it's the action of one person. Everyone should move on and just play games.
So what, yeah. Okay, so let's talk a hypothetical for a second.
Yep.
Let's assume that one of the theories is correct, that this was the old name for the Gender Wars ability.
Yep.
Okay, and then, you know, for probably very good reasons, they changed it to what it is now. What would it hurt a company like Deep Silver or Techland to just say, yeah, we thought about trying this, this was an early idea, we changed it because of X, Y, and Z, and you know what? We didn't catch it, you know, kind of what Ash is saying, just kind of get over it.
You know what, though? I feel like this is more of a working title.
Best case scenario. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, if it was a working title, then, you know, say that. Say it was a working title. We thought better of it. You know, we thought it might be funny, but we, you know.
Still not.
I wouldn't admit that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's a PR disaster right there because you're just digging the hole deeper. If you're going to go out and admit, oh, yeah, yeah, we totally were a bunch of sexist, chauvinistic pigs. And then we decided that people would have an outcry like they are now over the name.
You basically pinned that on a John Doe. Some one person who was working on the Gender Wars feature thought at one point it'd be funny to call it feminist whore. You pin it on John Doe, you don't even need to put it on someone real. The apology's been made.
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. And I'm a chick and I play video games and I believe in in women's rights, but I also feel like if it was just out of nowhere, it'd be one thing, but it's about an attack that lets her as a woman kick the ass of a man. Like, it's tongue-in-cheek to me. I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. Like, whatever. It's a fucking video game, and it's a zombie video game. Okay?
All right. We got Ashley all worked up.
Ashley has spoken.
Yes.
God, it's starting to sound like me.
This is why I should not be PR, but, you know.
It's probably true. There was also, speaking of controversy, there was another kind of thing that was making the rounds last week. We didn't really talk about it because, like a lot of people, we assumed it was fake and kind of an advertisement. But you might have seen a trailer for something called Slavery the Game. It made the rounds on many blogs.
Is this another one of those white power things?
Well, here's the thing. So this game trailer had come out, and it was literally about owning slaves. It was kind of like Pokemon with people.
Oh God!
You know, it was you were buying them, you were selling them, you were disciplining them. It was the whole nine, and it was very graphic trailer. Like it was kind of like Pokemon if done by the guys who made Manhunt. Okay, I mean that kind of gives you the idea of the thing, and everyone was like, there's no way this game can be real. Like there's no way this is going to happen. Because, you know, there are people, like you were saying, like with the white power stuff. But, like, this had, like, some serious production value behind it. Like, there's no way it would have gotten this far if it was just, you know, Jim Bob's
software. Two dudes in a trailer?
Yeah, exactly. So it turns out everyone's instinct was correct, is that it is not a real game. It was actually, the ad was created as some sort of viral marketing for a Dutch TV series called De Slavernij. I'm probably butchering that.
De Slavernij.
Broody, broody, broody. Yeah, thank you. One of us had to make the Swedish chef joke, which is a documentary about slavery and about the history of slavery as well as modern slavery.
Is this one more like one of those mockumentaries that Confederate States of America?
No, this is a legitimate, like, you know, frontline PBS style documentary. But what they did was, and they actually interviewed the editor in chief of it's called NTR is the company. The broadcaster, they said, it was by no means our intention to hurt people with the trailer. We chose this approach to create maximum awareness for slavery in general, not just the history of slavery, but also for slavery that still exists today. So it's interesting because...
What, sleep?
No, I was just getting a death stare from Mike, and I'm just continue.
You're now representing the Dutch people.
I guess.
Way to go.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. So, I was more zoning out.
One thing I do like is that nobody thought this was real.
I fear for the few people that thought it was real.
What, like, power?
Oh, God. Like, you have to have the common sense to see it and be like, that is a complete false viral attempt.
I wonder
at
how Michelle Bachmann felt about this video.
Oh, God. I don't want to know.
Why bring her up?
Yeah.
That's just...
We were having such a good podcast till you brought that up.
Yeah, well.
What do you want?
Something was going to ruin it.
But I mean, aside from the fact that this is a viral thing, and thank God this didn't get like picked up by like Fox or any of these kind of companies that like what the fuck.
Oh God.
But at the same time, we haven't really talked about it too much on this show, but there is this kind of movement going on in video games right now, the kind of not serious game movement, but just kind of the using video games as a way of talking about social issues and things like that. You're seeing that a lot in like the Middle East, where you're getting stuff about the Iranian Revolution and all this stuff. And we also talked a little bit about like the Dog Wars game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where... I don't remember if this was the actual intent of the game makers, but it was, you know, talking about, you know, bringing this social idea starting a discussion about it.
Yeah.
Using the video games and kind of the ideas of video games, much like, you know, people used, you know, photography or art projects and things like that to discuss, you know, big social things, even though kind of what they were doing taken on its own was very kind of reprehensible. Well,
and again, like, I think I've talked about this way back in earlier shows, but like, I had a class in college where we were actually given a game that was kind of like, here, do a nonviolent overthrow of a dictator type thing, you know, to kind of comment on mm-hmm. stuff going on in third world countries mm-hmm. and trying to do the problem solving. And of course, you know me, I was terrible at that because,
of course, well, I'm a bad idea.
So.
Yeah. Yes. See all Civilization games you've ever played.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be kind of interesting to do, you know, for lack of a better, and I might trademark this phrase, the Pokemon with people idea, you know, just to do the kind of Dog Wars kind of take on it, where you are talking about the real issues of the slave trade. Like, I think that could be kind of interesting. It's not going to be a AAA title. I mean, it's going to be, you're going to go into it knowing that this is going to have a message and all of that stuff. But
I think you have to be very careful how you make it. You have to decide what your political message is. And as you polish that story, make sure that no one can misinterpret what you're saying, because that's mm-hmm. a very delicate issue. And to go back to the Dog Wars, you know, like, when we were talking about basically the drug wars, or, you know, drug wars in terms of Dog Wars, whatever it was called, mm-hmm. while I didn't want to rob the people the ability to make that game, I don't want to support that game at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to buy it, don't want to see it, don't want to, you know, let any ads into my eyeballs. And I feel like, you know, you need to be very careful. It's a very hard line to toe.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because mm-hmm. then you're pressing on that First Amendment stuff, and you're really, really pushing it to the limit there. And given the people, you know, with the EMA versus California case, you're really putting ammunition in their hand at that point.
I mean, look at what was it, 6 days in Fallujah?
Yeah.
Let's not get started.
You know what I mean?
That.
Like, that was a game I was really looking forward to. Cause
same here.
I was really looking forward to the historical perspective of this battle. Mm-hmm. It's very recent, and listening to, like, the developers and all that, it was going to be really close to real, like scary real, to the point where it probably won't be fun. But that still had me excited, because that is a way to use this medium to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very easy story to tell, I think, specifically for Americans to consume, because you're going to play as the American GI in this situation.
Yeah.
And I think with slavery, like, you have to be very careful from the perspective at which you tell the story. Like, are you dealing with the trading or trying to abolish the trading?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, at least what the trailer was supposedly advertising, was a game where you were the slave owner.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's literally Pokemon with people. I mean, I don't think you were fighting them, which would add an extra kind of wrinkle to it, I guess. But
yeah.
But, you know, I think I'm certainly not saying that we can expect Activision to be putting out a game like this anytime soon. But, you know, I think there's room now in kind of that indie game space to be doing stuff like this. Like, I don't know if I'm not going to go so far as to say I want to see a slavery game, but I would like the space. I like to think that the space has matured to the point where we could do a game like this that is, you know, maturely done.
I think it'd be fun to see the space kind of be filled with the education games, where you could almost use that in history class, where it's fun and approachable. Well, fun, not like Call of Duty fun. Let's take that over a different way. It's not completely boring like reading a book is to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
where they can walk away from that and understand maybe the, you know, the pre-Civil War America, you know, how the South was structured, how the North was structured, and how slavery played a part into pre-Civil War America. And if you could deliver that message in a way that is approachable, entertaining, and, you know, students walk away knowing what happened, then I think you have a really cool thing there.
Yep. So let's move away from slavery, shall we?
Yeah, let's.
I guess.
Yeah.
For now. We can take this up later in the show, you know, when we're talking about more Pokemon games, I guess.
Ian, clean my car.
No, thank you.
Do it.
You don't pay me.
End scene. All right. Yeah. Anyway, Tokyo Game Show is going on right now. And pretty much the big announcement as far as I'm concerned, is all of the stories about the Vita. Now, this is the first time that we've really had to sit down and talk about the Vita, you know, since E3. The 3DS, there was a fair amount of announcements in terms of the 3DS, in terms of, like, you know, price cuts and things like that, but that's kind of all. We know the 3DS. The 3DS is a known quantity. You know, additional, you know, fucking analog nubs and stuff like that, that's great and all, but we know what that is, but we don't know what the Vita is going to be like. So there's been this raft of stories about the Vita this week, thanks to Tokyo Game Show. And the biggest one, I think, for a lot of people, is the launch lineup.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, kind of what you're saying about Nintendo is they kind of punted the 3DS release, it seems like, and it seems like they're still trying to nail down what that product is going to be. Now, on Twitter, I saw a lot of excitement about the Nintendo announcements, but really, it comes down to being just a handful of games and an extra nubbin.
And, oh, by the way, the best titles are Mario games. Shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a post by Phil Kohler of Game Informer that, and I don't mean to call him out because he's really one of many people that evidence that I see this in. And it's that kind of blind Nintendo fanboy, and I'm not calling into question his objectivity in terms of his writing, but just his natural kind of Twitter feed is just full of this stuff. And he did a post I think it was last night or a couple nights ago, where all it was double hook shot. Oh my god! If you have that kind of reaction to a double hook shot, to an ability in a new Zelda game, you are no longer in the realm of thinking people. I can't think of a game where just the you know, it reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Lisa makes the new doll, like the new version of Barbie. I think it was called Lisa Lionheart was her
something
version.
Like that, yeah.
And then the big competition is Malibu Stacy, and then all of the girls flock to that because Malibu Stacy had a new hat.
Yeah.
It's like clearly there's something different here, and there's just this weird kind of blind Nintendo fanboyism, for lack of a better word, that I just don't understand. And it could be just because I never played Zelda to any degree. So
I think Nintendo pulls that kind of charm over people where they won't go away like Sega did. They will just become less relevant. But I think kind of, you know, when we look at that 3DS launch, the PS Vita is doing the exact opposite. I think when the US 3DS launched, it had 7 titles, maybe 13 or something like that. None of them really AAA other than Super Street Fighter, but we see that it has been announced that the PS Vita will have over 100 launch titles. Now, I'm not sure if all of those are games, but I think they're 100 pieces of software, you could think of it, and a lot of them are games. And from the Joystick article, what they were able to pull is there will be a Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Ninja Gaiden Sigma, a Katamari game, F1 2011.
Katamari game, just with that touchpad in the back. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm kind of excited.
Super Stardust Delta, again with that touchpad in the back. Your Wipeout game, Ridge Racer. And I think what we're also seeing, which some of us feared and some of us are excited about, is a lot of ports. Announced as Zone of Enders HD Edition, Metal Gear Solid HD Edition, and some of the Gundam series games will be coming to the PS Vita.
You mean like Dynasty Warriors Gundam?
It just says Gundam series in the Joystick article. I think it probably means there's a lot of games they can pick from.
Well, right, yeah. It's kind of like Dragon Ball Z. You know, there's a crap ton of games back in the day that you could...
Now, one of the other big announcements there is, I don't know if it's a launch title, but it was announced that Final Fantasy X, because I won't call it 10-2 or 10-1, because that gets confusing in conversation.
You could just say 10, I think.
Yes.
X in like exhibit. You have to do the exhibit.
Or
sign.
As in DMX. Anyways, yeah. Final Fantasy X will be released for PS3 and PS Vita.
Ooh.
I can't care. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but like it goes back to something we've been talking about. My first reaction was like, if you were saying Final Fantasy VII, I would care a whole lot.
Oh yeah.
More.
I think everyone in their damn right would be. And it just bewilders me that Sony hasn't just been like, okay, fine, fuck, here is Final Fantasy VII HD. Like, what is the problem?
Here's 2 canvas sacks of money, Square. Go do this.
Right. And people would eat that shit up. Like,
And I think the problem for me is Final Fantasy VII has a really good place in my heart and brain. Where Final Fantasy X, what I remember from it is I got really excited when I bought it. You know, I didn't have a lot of money in college, but I made money for Final Fantasy X. Got home, played for 20 hours probably the first week, and all I did was run from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen, encountered enemies, no exploration, okay story.
And then you got the Blitzball. And all was good again.
Yeah, then it was good for a while. Then you run from the left side to the right side, sometimes right to left. But it really left a lot to be desired for me, and I know a lot of people loved it, and that's awesome if you do, but I want Final Fantasy VII.
And I think, like, everybody, I mean, that would...
Except for Evan.
What? What about me?
You don't have a heart.
You don't want Final Fantasy VII remake?
No.
I have no skin in the game. I don't care if it gets remade or
what
not.
What do you care about?
Blitzball. Give me my Blitzball. No. I'm starting to think...
I think Evan wants Madden game for the Vita.
I do. I really do. I'm really starting to think that Final Fantasy VII is Squaresoft's nude scene. And what I mean by that is there's always those actresses out there that everyone just... And by everyone, I mean guys. They're waiting for them to finally do a nude scene. And... They keep teasing it, and it never happens.
Are you calling Square a cock tease?
I'm not gonna say that because they're not really, I guess, really teasing that. Oh, we might do Final Fantasy VII. You know, I think it's like Neve Campbell. Okay, for years she said I'm not doing a nude scene, not doing it, whatever.
Yet another Cinemax show with Evan Peterson.
Well, no, just bear with me on this.
Should we play the creepy music now?
There's going to be a point where no one's going to want Final Fantasy VII anymore. Like it's just they've people have been asking for it for so long that eventually they're just going to give up, and then Squaresoft is going to do it, and no one's going to give a shit.
My theory is they're going to do every game around Final Fantasy VII.
This is what they're going to do. They're going to wait until that company is like on the verge of bankruptcy and be like, kapow,
yeah,
there it is. We're back, baby.
I think I'm with you on that. I'm sure they've got some skunk works.
It's like it's done. It's done.
Working
they,
on
they
it.
They just have a button that's hitting to press. And
yeah. Yeah. But I just, my worry is that they're going to wait too long. And they're just not going to do it. And then by the end of it, it's the people that originally played it are going to be, you know...
Dead.
I won't necessarily say dead, but, you know, they're gonna be...
I've got a good 20 years left on this planet, so let's make
I maybe got five if I'm lucky.
They're not going to be as interested to rebuy, you know... And it's going to get harder and harder to remake that game. As the hardware gets better and all of that stuff, it's going to be less impressive. You know, and eventually the nostalgia factor just isn't good enough.
They're waiting
people.
For like 2000p in the in as far as graphics concerned.
They already have that.
PC gamers do.
Just saying.
I'm gonna kill you both.
But I mean, going back to Final Fantasy X, I mean, it's cool that they're doing that. And if you want a game that will show off the quality of the Vita, I think that is a decent one.
Yeah, I think the big thing is I haven't heard too many people scream for Final Fantasy X.
It's not that old.
Yeah.
It's PS2 and late PS2 at that.
Yeah.
You know, so...
More power to them. I hope they make enough money to stay in business to make Final Fantasy VII for something.
I think they're doing fine.
Yeah.
Money-wise.
Yeah, I don't think
they
that...
They got that Deus Ex game.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
Deus Ex is making them a little bit of money.
What's
so.
That? I haven't heard anything about
well,
it.
Well, I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, okay.
So... So anyway, we still have other Vita stuff. Apparently the battery sucks now too.
Yeah. It's not much of a story. I'd like to think that with all the new appliances and even like cell phones and how really shitty their battery lives are, that you know, like this is something that they would be focusing on with new handhelds and they aren't. And they're stupid for that. So it's So pretty much the Vita is getting 3 to 5 hours of battery life.
Which when I read that, I'm like, sweet. Like, I
then
did
you,
not.
You, sir, do not care much about, I don't know.
See, I guess for me, like, and this will be the challenge of Extra Life, is I get to about the 3 hour mark into a game, and the ADD kicks in a little bit. And I'm kind of like, okay. I want to go outside and ride a bike.
Well, it's not even, okay, it doesn't have to do with how long you're playing a game, I don't think. I think it has to do with what if you're traveling, and what if you don't have a charger or a car charger for 8 hours? You know what I mean? If you pick it up and put it down in 24 hours, 3 to 5 hours is not a lot of time, especially like little kids playing it.
Oh, I completely agree with you, and you know, like, Nyko is going to make an extended battery pack for this thing. They'll give you like 5-6 hours. The big thing for me is that it has a very comparable battery time to the Nintendo 3DS, which is a lot lesser hardware.
You know what, though? As much as people bitch about that, like, battery life is getting worse overall.
Well, oh, yeah. Things are getting more powerful.
Yeah. And I've got the new Thunderbolt. I have to pretty much, if I'm sitting somewhere, like if I've planted myself, be it at work or at home.
So 90% of the time.
90% of the time, I leave it plugged in. Because, I mean, I don't think it could go a whole day of even not being used without having to be charged.
Yeah, I remember when I got my first PSP, the battery life was about 3 hours, and I never really had any problems with that, because I'm at least the kind of person that always has enough distractions around me that, like Mike said, when I get bored of something, I go to the other item. Mm-hmm. So the flying I did with the PSP, it was fine. You know, you get off the plane, battery might be a little low, but hopefully you get to a hotel room that night to charge it. But I do understand at the same time Ashley's concern. If you're doing a lot of traveling, it could become a huge pain in the ass.
Well, I don't know. I just...
Read a book.
I do read books.
I read
That's
lots
what I'm of
books.
I'm not saying specific to you, Ashley. I'm just saying in general.
And study
I know you can read, Ashley.
But in general, like, my iPad can hold a charge for so ridiculously long. Like, the battery life is so huge.
Yeah, I mean, I have the iPad, too, and I get about 10 hours on it. But as soon as I start playing games, that seems to dip pretty quick.
Oh, well, see, I don't play games on that shit. That's what I read, and I surf the internet for.
Yep.
There's a time and place for some... I don't know. It kind of irritates me, I guess. And a lot of these handheld things don't have car chargers. So I guess that's kind of where...
Well, they do. They're just terribly expensive if you want to get
one
that works. But
my hope is that it actually will be able to charge off USB, so the charger I have for my phone, iPod, iPhone, or whatever will work with it.
You know what I've always been shocked about by this, and this is a bit of a side tangent, that there isn't chargers on airplanes.
Some there are some.
Yeah,
I have yet to see one.
But you got
to
pay like $20 for the cord.
Oh,
or,
Jesus.
Or you got to go to first class.
Yeah.
I've also never been in first class in an airplane.
Me either.
It is pretty awesome.
I hate you. Again, I'm going to kill you both.
No, but I just said I have.
Because you're here in the room.
Have.
You're a witness.
No, Evan, not you, Ashley. He's going to kill Evan.
Ashley, you're safe. It's me.
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm not even there.
Nice.
I'm not making a special trip to Woodbury. I'm sorry.
I would kill you, but you're just
too far.
Yeah.
It's too much of an inconvenience.
Yeah,
he's already been up for 10% of the day, so he's got a plant for the rest.
Yeah, that's
so.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it for Tokyo Game Show stuff. I mean, they talked about Tokyo Game Show. I mean, they're big into the announcements, but they're also big into announcements that's like, oh, I've started, like, Kojima, the guy who did Metal Gear.
Oh, I read that.
Okay. It's like, yeah, I'm doing a game. It's not going to be out for 4 years. Like, then
it's
shut
like,
the fuck up.
You. Yeah, fuck like, you.
It's like, I don't want to hear about that. You know?
It also seems like they're into, like, the end of a announcement, so... The Vita has been announced, what, 4 times now, probably?
That's true.
So all
this is, like, the last big show.
All they really
you know
did
be
was
funny?
Say...
They should have just announced the PS3, just for fun.
Yeah. they did. They announced new colors. They announced new
they
colors
did.
For the PS3 and the
that's
PSP.
Right.
There
that's
was
right.
rumors that there was going to be a PS4 announcement this time, but...
Again,
like
we've
solid,
gone...
like pretty solid rumors, so I'm surprised there wasn't any sort of rumbling about it, but...
Nobody wants a PS4.
I'm quite happy with my hardware right now. I want a new handheld. That's it.
Yeah, ditto. I want a reason to play handheld, so. But yeah, so speaking of things making us want to play games, the advertising world, the great psychic manipulator that it be. So
I'm immune to its lure.
Bullshit.
No, you're not.
That is grade A bullshit.
Yeah,
I know that.
No, that's not true.
So, but according to new reports on worldwide trends in video game advertising from DFC Intelligence, Advertisers spent over $1 billion in 2010 using video games as a platform in North America. So these are including in-game advertising like you see in such things like Madden and whatnot.
So in Call of Duty, my dude eats a bag of Doritos.
Right, you know, like all game advertising.
Is that really true?
No, I just made that up. No. I just made that up.
And a term called, awesome. And a term I've never heard of this before, advergames.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be like there was a Volkswagen like driving game for the iPhone. Oh,
okay, yeah. And then like that Dorito.
There's Doritos.
Dash
there was
game
the Yaris game on Xbox
okay,
Live.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So by 2014, DFC Intelligence predicts that advertising in and around video games in North America will double to over $2 billion. And on a global basis, advertising in video games will reach $7.2 billion by 2016.
So, point of clarification. Is this advertising of video games, advertising in video games, or
no,
both?
No. This is, like, meant to be, so as they say in here, it's include in-game advertising, around-game advertising, and advergames. So this is talking, like,
so not
in-game
like,
advertising about other products.
Or like, when you maybe go to Facebook and there's banner ads around your game.
Right,
like,
or, you know, when you have stuff, it's like, oh, you know, this Call of Duty thing brought to you by Jeep, you know, the whole new... The Jeep based on the Call of Duty or like
so
the Doritos
isn't,
Dash.
This isn't like the LA Noir TV spots.
No, this isn't like, you know, Rockstar where it's like, hey, there's bus stops. Let's just fucking post posters all over every damn bus stop. You want to play our new game.
So it's not your typical marketing campaign.
No. This is this is
That's
talking,
a lot of money.
Yeah, this is talking in-game like product placement type stuff in a video game.
I was reading the new Penny Arcade volume. I think it's volume 7. I think it's called Be a Good Puppy. Something about Good Puppy. I don't remember exactly the title of it.
Clearly you weren't a good puppy.
Oh, apparently not. And that volume 7 is 2006.
Okay.
For them. And there was a couple strips in there about how apparently the big thing back then, and I do remember this, where they were going to tune the billboards in first-person shooters, like in Modern Warfare and things like that. They were going to tune the billboards to be real-life ads. And how that was going to be like the new big wave of in-game advertising, and it just never really materialized.
Well, and again, that shit has been going on for years in sports video games.
Oh yeah,
like I've bitched about that before.
Player of the game, brought to you by Reese's.
And again, it's something. It's gotten to the point now where I've just kind of accepted that that's a thing that's going to occur, and I don't really think about it anymore. Like in Madden 12, it's the whole Verizon end zone report.
You know what? You don't want it to be like, I remember I haven't watched a lot of Fringe, but I watched probably the first season and a half. And I remember there's a point, I want to say it was Fringe, correct me if I was wrong, where they said, let me use my forward sync system.
Yeah.
And they're very good about showing
Eureka on Sci-Fi was huge for that. They were sponsored by like Gillette or something like that.
Let me use my Gillette shaving cream.
Yeah. No, there was like a whole episode where literally the shaving cream was like how to fix the problem. It was pretty.
Yeah.
And they wrote it into the storyline where it's like basically this big town, Eureka, which is like, you know, the super Area 51, like super science, all this is going on. They had a new director and they were going for corporate sponsorship. So they worked it into the storyline in a very clever way.
If you can get away with it, more power to your writing staff. But like, clearly in some TV I've seen it where like they're very going to predominantly show Ford cars or whoever's paying for the car spot. I'm okay with that, but as long as once it starts interfering with stories where you can tell the writers had to figure out how to say XYZ and they can't use it as a plot point, that's when it bugs
me. What about the part in Wayne's World?
I love that part.
that's Wayne's World is just genius from beginning to end. So
yes,
it's nice.
Yes.
No, Wayne's World and Repo Man are two of the best like satirical things
I need
on
to
product
see that.
Play. Because in Repo Man there is nothing. There is nothing that is a product. Everything is white with a blue stripe and it says what it is. It's like beer. Or just printed on
nice.
Can. Or chips.
If you've ever seen TV, and they do this on Hulu quite a bit.
Have you ever
too.
Seen a television
Have you ever
before?
Seen TV? shut up. Sometimes you'll see, like, with special episodes of things, it's like, this episode is brought to you by, with limited interruption, courtesy of blah, blah, blah. And So basically, they have fewer commercial breaks, but there's always the banner on the bottom that says, you know,
Ford, I think Geo. Somebody does need to start a company called blah blah blah
blah blah blah. Yeah, their stock symbol is just a bunch of bees.
I want that one. It's just
but you know, and we talked a little about the adver gaming, like with the Yaris, things like that. When are we going to see a game, you know, that is for free for a certain amount of time, courtesy of another company? For example, let's say some like first-person shooter game. It have to be a downloadable game. It's like an Xbox Live game. So let's say some sort of Modern Warfare kind of game.
So or Counter-Strike.
New Counter-Strike Global Operations.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and we actually had a question about that, our feelings about that. I don't think any of us really play first-person shooters on this show. Although you're apparently
so
excited.
Want it.
We'll have to get that in a little bit.
Apparently.
You need to stop, like, coming over the mic.
I'm sorry.
I know we need new mics, but don't force the issue here. So.
No kidding.
When are we going to see a game? And we could even do this with maps, with like Modern Warfare, because they're selling maps and things like that. When are we going to see, like, okay, for 2 weeks, the next batch of Modern Warfare apps or Modern Warfare maps are free, courtesy of the U.S. Army or something like that.
I feel like
some sort of sponsored game that is free, courtesy. It's not like the Yaris game where the game is the commercial, but just using an existing property in the same way of that limited commercial interruption kind of idea with TV.
I feel like that has already happened, but I can't think of an example.
I'm in Mike's boat where, like, I don't find the idea offensive, and I feel like it's probably happened
somewhere. It's probably already happened, and if it hasn't, then I'm shocked that it hasn't. Really, it's, you know, it's... You see, I guess, I don't know how much you guys pay attention when you log on, like, Xbox Live.
Very little.
But it's just, like, there's just ads in your face, like, all the time. Like, if you look at least about two things over from your welcome screen, it's like... Oh, here is the new, you know, Gears of War 3 stuff you can get courtesy of GameStop and whatever company. And just, there's all sorts of stuff like that. If you click a couple ones over, there'll be another thing that's like, here's a weird video advertisement for another company, you know. It's like, here, you want to buy the new Land Rover.
I think what this really goes to show is that video games are a huge industry now. If the industry of in-game advertising or adver gaming is $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of freaking money.
I would like to see what the marketing campaigns are from like the top five publishers.
You know, it's going to get really entertaining when political campaigns get involved with this. And I'm not talking like the zombies of, you know, the Republican zombies game from a couple.
They've
weeks
already
ago.
Invaded YouTube, and that pisses me off.
Well, that you know. Whether it's good or not is another discussion. I'm just saying when we see a Democratic National Committee game.
This is a map of Gears of War is brought to you by Michelle Bachmann.
That would be awesome, actually. I think that'd be hilarious.
You have to save the children from being vaccinated by the locusts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be really interesting. I think that'll be really interesting. And it'll be a hard situation because of how sensitive you'd have to be. You can't have certain kinds of games.
Anything with violence.
It's tough.
Flower. My Little Pony's Petting Zoo.
Flower brought to you by Barack Obama for 2016.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's the rare show where
for
I have this, it's where I have the sports story.
By the way, before we begin your sports story, I want to segue with a little of something we brought up last week. Before we get into your story,
okay.
It's also sports related. So remember how I brought up last week about the NFL thing at the end of each Madden game? How this is, you know, they have the whole shit. I talked to the patent attorneys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yes. Yeah. So to reiterate, mm-hmm. This is in reference to the, you know, this game cannot be rebroadcast without express written permission of the NFL and all its affiliates and all of their mothers.
And basically, he came down to it. He's like, the language of what that ad has been saying has probably been in every Madden game since, you know, since the dawn of time. It's just now that the NFL is, you know, realizing that video gaming is such a big thing that, you know, there is this huge thing, especially for Madden, that people, you know, just go apeshit for, you know, present party included. that it's like, we should probably put this in here to save our ass. Now, he also did say that this is very similar to when you see the, you know, the no piracy stuff on a DVD, in which he also said, now, if the NFL is bothered to enforce that, you know, is a whole nother question. He's like, you know, does it prevent you from putting your gameplay on YouTube, recording it and putting it on YouTube? If their NFL really wanted to do something about it, yes. But all they would do is send a cease and desist letter to YouTube.
Exactly.
It would come off. That would pretty much be the end of the story. You know, he's like, look, there's clips from movies and TV shows on YouTube all over the place.
Exactly. I mean, you think every sports bar has express written permission from the NFL
to rebroadcast
those
stuff? Well, it's just like
the agreement depends on your screen size too.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
There's similar to how a church was going to show like a
Colts game or something like that,
and because they had over 100 inches of screen, the NFL said, no, you can't.
Oh, interesting.
I think that was something with the Super Bowl, too. They had some issues with that as well. But, yeah, so that's basically what he said. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's not shocking. It's probably put on there partially to look more authentic now, but really it's a, hey, we realize this is a big deal, so we should probably, some lawyer probably said, you should probably put that on there.
Yeah.
He's like, but I wouldn't be concerned if you're recording it and throwing it on YouTube.
You should just record just that part of the game.
And let's we'll just put the disclaimer in. This is not technically legal
advice. No, this is not technically legal advice. This is just kind of an offhanded thing, and I will, you know, and that's why I'm, you know, keeping anonymity as well.
Anyway, and also football legal video game news. Electronic Arts has won a case that I didn't actually know about, and it's actually kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Former Rutgers University quarterback Ryan Hart had sued EA over NCAA football 2006. And the way that the NCAA games work is they can show basically everything but the name
of the players. On the back of it, although you can download, and a lot of them, you can download rosters. I follow a site called Operation Sports, which is it's all devoted to sports video gaming. Surprise, surprise. And they always do. They usually tend to have the best rosters out of any of these games. MLB The Show, mm-hmm. Madden, and the NCAA games. And they'll update from that. But it's really gotten, in the games, they will try to emulate a likeness, but not to the point where they're showing, like, in Madden, you can see the guy's face. You know, there's little snippets when you're going through the roster. You can see their faces. In NCAA, they kind of have like 8 generic looks, mm-hmm. and they'll kind of use those. Here's the white dude with a goatee. Here's the black dude with a shaven head and
it's like
and a beard.
It's like Nintendo ice hockey. It's fat guy, skinny guy, middle guy.
Yeah,
kind of. You know, like in the same light.
So anyway, so this case centered around this guy Ryan Hart, who felt that even though his name was not used as the Rutgers quarterback, it was very obvious that that's who it was, and he felt that that was infringing on his right to basically protect the use of his name and likeness. And
by the way, this guy never did anything, and he was... You know,
well, just because you suck at football doesn't mean you're not...
I'm just saying, I just want to point that out, by the way.
Just because you suck doesn't mean you don't have any rights.
Yeah.
it's not like you see a guy who was amazing and being like, I'm going to sue EA now.
Well, so the argument that EA used was basically that it's their First Amendment right since games are expressive works, that they are basically allowed to do this. And the Ninth Circuit Court of California agreed with them, basically. They dismissed the case this week. They said that, or was it this week?
It was fairly recent.
It was fairly recent. Okay, so there was a big chunk of dismissals back in September of 2010, mm-hmm. But there was still this one additional one where they actually said, you know, we're going to dismiss everything, but you can submit an amended complaint, which we'll then rule on, which he did, and they did, and they still basically said, no, this doesn't work. And basically what they said is that Judge Wolfson said that the validity of EA's First Amendment defense, quote, depends upon whether the video game is considered commercial speech or an artistic work. So this is another kind of odd fallout of mm-hmm. the whole EMA versus California thing. So why this is interesting isn't so much the fact that, you know, they quote-unquote screwed this Rutgers guy out, but what does this mean for something like Madden? where, I mean, I can understand, I mean, the NFL, the logo is trademarked and all that stuff, but if companies could use player names and things like that, you know, why not?
They can't. Here's the thing.
NFL own the likenesses of the players?
Yeah. NFLPA
the NFLPA owns the likenesses, jerseys, logos, colors, stadiums, everything, all of that. For those who pay attention to the Madden games, actually, it's so far down to that Brian Belichick, the coach of the New England Patriots, and I believe there's one other person, are not members of the NFL Coaching Association, and their likeness cannot be used in Madden. Yeah. They, like, go to the reaches to make sure that...
Is it like an episode of Cops whenever you play the Patriots, where it's just the guy's face is blurred
out? No, no. It's just like I remember, like, last year, it was just some old guy that looked like he was about to die.
Yeah.
Was the coach of the Patriots. Well, this time, it's a generic person, and it just says New England coach.
Back in the day, Michael Jordan was not part of the NBA Players Association.
Yep.
So there was
a lot of the games you couldn't. Like, I remember that was my big thing I was bitching about way back in the day in NBA Jam.
You were bitching play. Back then.
Yeah, well, I've pretty much been
Mike now. Has not stopped bitching
he was a young
learn to speak.
Yeah. But yeah, you couldn't play as Jordan in NBA Jam in a lot of the earlier games. In fact, I remember the last game I remember back in the day you could really play as Jordan was Tecmo Basketball.
Well, some games brought him in, but he charged a lot for his likeness because he knew the value of his likeness as a separate part from the NBA PA.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, it's now... The interesting thing is,
it's
like,
still cool though.
Yeah,
I think this is interesting, not necessarily from a sports level, but think of all these celebrities that could be used in things.
Well, spoofs happen all the time. Yeah. I think that's kind of what this sounds like. It gets to for me is almost like a spoof.
And you're probably dealing in a lot of the libel and slander law, where it's like you are a public figure because you are represented in a public light. But yeah. I can't remember what else I was going to say about it. I had another point, but...
It's okay.
Oh, but I was going to bring up, too, by the way, not that you guys really care, but I don't know if... Ian, do you remember the game All-Pro Football 2K8? The one 2K put out a while back?
Yes, with all the legacy players.
How they got around that is 2K went and individually got these players to license themselves to, because they're no longer part of the NFL Players Association, or some of them are so old... that there really was no Players Association union to protect them, like people like Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr and whoever, who played back in the dinosaur days of football. And a lot of the other guys, you know, like Barry Sanders and John Elway, who are no longer part of the association because they're retired.
Yeah.
And yeah, they got them to license their image and name and whatnot to this game.
What that really stems from is my biggest frustration that the best football game I ever played was, what was it? Was it actually ESPN 2K, NFL 2K5? I know ESPN's branding was on it, but it was Sega's NFL 2K5.
It was the last non-Madden NFL game that has been made.
Yep, and it was a brilliant football game, and it destroyed all their football games for me.
So sad.
That's why you need to play Madden 12. I'll talk about it, you know, at some other point with you, but it really feels, again, like to me, like they really brought some of those elements in, but... Anyways.
All right, we got one more story here before we take care of some business as well as talk about some games here.
Business.
So,
another game coming out that I'm super excited for, and this isn't really a story by any means, but the Civilization V Game of the Year Edition is due out this month. So, for those of you who have sadly passed on Civilization V, there's been...
It was $12.50 on Steam last weekend. I definitely picked it up.
Yeah, and I'm really jealous that people got it for that price, because I bought it like right away. I got a whole new computer to play the game.
You got it for more than $50.
Yeah, it's more like a $700 game to me. But yeah, so launching September 27th, the day after the greatest day of the year, which is Mike Fest. On September 26th, on the PC, is including the game itself plus all of the add-ons for the $50, so which is the Mongols pack, the Babylon pack, Mesopotamia, Mary, just a fuckload of packs. You know, there's like 8, 9, 10 packs on there. So you can get it on standalone right now on Steam and other places for $30. But yeah, if you want to get into like all the scenarios and the maps and whatnot, the extra $20 for what they're charging for the DLC, well worth it. So, yeah.
All right.
I haven't played the game yet. I'm really excited to dig into it.
Well, let me know when you want to rock some multiplayer.
So I can get schooled.
Only if you are planning on playing me militaristically.
I was going to go scientific victory.
I might still kill you before
then.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, all right then. We got games, though, to talk about real quick.
Yeah.
Who has game? You lie.
I have games.
I have game.
You have
game?
I have game.
Never mind.
We upset Ashley.
Yes. Yes, Ashley, do you have game? Because I have game.
That's what I was getting at. That's what I said. I said none of you guys have game. I'm glad somebody caught on that.
Have game.
Oh, I caught on. I just moved past it.
Yeah I didn't care.
All right. Anyway, Mike, I know. Do you have anything? Actually, I don't know.
I mean, nothing that I haven't already been playing.
Okay.
I mean, I
more Madden.
Madden
yeah.
12.
Yeah. Although funny enough, I haven't gotten to play as much as I wanted to lately. I've been so damn busy lately.
Is that why you're kind of like withdrawn right now and reserved? Is it because you're going through withdrawal?
Although
he's got the shakes.
Although yeah. Laurel did get her first episode of this year's Madden Fit. She came in and made me lose my concentration. I was throwing.
Not her.
I
was
throwing a pass into the end zone with 2 seconds left in the game to win it, and she opens the door and she, you know, screams my name, and I totally looked away and lost the receiver, and I was like, threw the controller to the ground, and she's like, "I'm sorry, did I do something wrong?" And I'm like,
and
"No."
Shortly after that, Laurel ran into the door.
I just kind of sat on the couch.
No domestic violence on this show.
No,
don't blame me. It's
no. I sat on the couch.
Smacky McGee over there.
I sat on the couch and pouted.
That's all that happened. He's probably just sat on the couch like, "I lost, man."
Literally threw the controller at the ground and sat on the couch and pouted. And she just kind of looked at me like, "What the hell?
why
killed
did I
your
marry
best
you?
Friend?
That's why did I marry you?"
At least she instantly knows. She's like, "Oh shit. Do you want cookies?"
Yeah, I would not get that at all. I would just yeah.
So yeah, so that was the you know. So it only took 2-3 weeks to get mad and rage for the first time.
That's
this
not
week,
bad
so.
Though. I don't mind.
No.
Ash, how about you?
No, unfortunately, there's not really been any games that I've wanted. I mean, nothing has really come out that I want to play. I mean, I'm not going to buy Madden. Not that I wouldn't play it. I just haven't bought
it. Almost sounded like you said Bat Madden.
I would play Bat Madden.
Battering, battering, battering.
I don't know. Are there any games, I guess, I'm not playing any, but are there any games that you guys know that are coming out like in this month that
Gears
you're
of War 3
for?
Yeah, Gears of War 3 is kind of the next
oh that comes out this month?
Yeah,
when does
yeah
it come
well,
out?
Comes out next week.
Excited. According to the Xbox dashboard, it is the most anticipated game of 2011.
I told Laurel I'm really pissed that Madden is going to still be fresh by the time Gears comes out because I'm
you
torn.
Do know it's not like milk. It does
no,
it, you,
no.
It doesn't spoil.
You don't understand. You don't understand.
You'll
I'll
have a controller in your hand. How do I do this?
Laurel, we need a second TV and a new Xbox. I need to play Madden and Gears simultaneously somehow.
And a cloning machine.
Oh, so you know what I'm going to do for football Sundays? I'm going to move my smaller TV into my living room and game while I watch football. It's my new plan.
Nice. That's a good plan. I like that.
It's a weekend of excess.
You know, I actually have before played Madden and had the actual NFL games in the
because if you're a Vikings fan, it's going to be a depressing season.
I mean,
Chris Cooley had some good punts, and Jared Allen's had some great plays.
And then our quarterback threw 39 yards in a professional game.
And then, Minnesota Sports once again realizes, oh, shit, we're from Minnesota. Never mind.
Yeah, we can't give you guys anything to hope for.
Exactly.
Please win.
Anyway.
Is it bad that I almost want an NBA
why
season?
Why do I always have a different name?
I just called Ian Jeff. So, Mortimer, any games?
Yeah, I've been playing Drake's, Uncharted 1, Drake's, is it Drake's Fortune?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Uncharted 2 is probably one of my top three games from last year. Loved the crap out of Uncharted 2. It's interesting to see, now going back to play Uncharted 1, where that game came from. Because there's definitely points in this game where you go to grab on a ledge and you'll, like, twist the camera and you're just holding on to air. Or, you know, the kind of edge detection's a little wonky. Still a beautiful game, but you can tell the polish they put in Uncharted 2 and how it made it a truly great game. Where I feel like Uncharted right now is just a good game. Really? I had one of those rage moments that Mike was talking about. There's this...
I know I have rage moments. Yeah.
I was going... I think it's like chapter 4 or something like that I'm going through, and there's a part where you get like probably 3 waves of guys. Wasn't expecting the second wave. Went in, the, you know, basically picked out all the ammo kits. Second wave comes through and kills me. Shit. All the... But this game saved happened before I picked up the ammo. But after I reloaded, the ammo drops are no longer there. So now I have 24 pistol rounds to deal with this next wave. I'm just like, you're fucking kidding me.
Oh, no.
So I played it for probably an hour. I'm like, this is numb. I'm just going to go to bed.
Yeah, I can't do this.
Yeah. I came back today and beat in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, it's always happens. Yeah.
There was, again, I haven't played this, but I was hearing reports of there's some autosave bugs in Dead Island where I was talking, reading somebody talk about it. And how they were falling off a cliff, and it auto-saved as they were falling off a cliff, which has happened to me in other games before, but and that's never fun because it's like, fuck.
Now, everyone listening, please learn the lesson we learned the hard way. Have multiple save files.
Yeah, I still don't do that.
Yeah,
neither do I.
It still pissed me off.
But when I say in terms of a good game, I mean it's still worth playing. It still has really good gameplay. But when you compare it to its sequel, it really shows some of those points that needed polish, like the aiming system and some of the edge detection. But the story is still great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still a fun game.
Favorite part about Uncharted 2 in relation to Uncharted 1, no stupid zombie sequence.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
Though I remember that
have you not played the first one at all?
No, this is my first playthrough.
Oh, well, sorry.
No, I knew that was coming. Okay. And there's a scene where you get into like an old Nazi submarine. I'm like, this must be where the zombies are.
Yeah.
No. I'm like, let down.
No Nazi submarines.
But that game's from 2007, I think.
Yeah. That was one of the first PS3 games.
Yeah, so I mean, 4 years old. I mean, it looks well compared to you know, how old it is.
Yeah, it still looks beautiful.
Yeah.
The
lighting effects are amazing.
Yes. Excellent. Well, good. I'm glad I love the hell out of those Uncharted games. I'm very excited for the next one.
This one, I don't know why, more so than the other, makes it feel extremely linear, but I'm not complaining.
It's a very linear game. Like and both of them are like that. Yeah. It's you know, in some ways it's kind of a cart ride game. It's so close to an on rails at times that, you know, you might as well
it really gets to, I think the two games really get to the point where you have a movie video game where you're not necessarily have full control of your actions. Like, you're going to walk up the staircase because there's no other way to go. Mm-hmm. So you're almost guaranteed to get through the gameplay in 7 or 8 hours. But they're able to dictate the exact story they tell you and basically determine the pacing and direct it like a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Excellent game. So is that it, though?
Other stuff here or there, but that's the big one.
All right. I finished Deus Ex.
Don't care.
I know you don't.
Tell me more.
Again, if you played the first one, this one will not... I don't want to say it won't have any surprises for you, but there was a complaint that I heard some people levy against it where it's like, nothing you do in the game affects the ending. It's just a decision that you make at the very end that determines what ending you've got.
So Fallout 3.
Even less so. Mm-hmm. Even less so. And I think that's fair, but it's also that is exactly what happened in the first game, you know. And so, you know, that can be your mileage may vary on that one. I mean, if you want to call that a bad thing, that's fine. But I think everything up to that point is very solid. I did get to a point where it's just like, I just want this over with.
Yeah.
And it might have been because I had Space Marine at that point. So it's like, I just want this done so I can start Space Marine. But it was more of the... There isn't, once you get past kind of the few kind of cool tricks that it does really well, like it does stealth really well, other than the whole, if you're more than 2 feet away from someone, they can't hear you, which is kind of amusing at times.
I'm usually like that from you, and I just pretend not to hear you.
If I can have any complaint against the Deus Ex game, is that it doesn't really do anything new past about the first like 5 or 6 hours. There's no real new, even the environments aren't really that different. So once you get about halfway through the game, you've seen pretty much everything there is to see in terms of the gameplay. The story's good. It's not a new story by any means. It's very similar to many sci-fi, including it's very similar to the first Deus Ex game.
Yeah.
But it's still a very recommendable game. I've no qualms in saying this is worth playing.
My big thing when you said that there's no multiple endings is
there is multiple endings.
Oh, just two of them?
No, there's actually four different endings, but it's really just a different cutscene. There's not a huge difference, and it literally, like, nothing you do before that makes any difference. It's just you get to a point and you just pick kind of what ending you want to do. Which is really handy for the achievement that where you get if you do all the endings.
Oh, make your save point at the right point.
Exactly. And then I just do it and watch the cutscene and all that stuff. So, but anyway, what were you going to say?
Oh, just that I feel like multiple endings get to be a little overrated.
I agree.
When done well, it's very breathtaking. When we go back to one of our favorite games, Red Dead Redemption, and how that game handled the ending, and it was a single ending,
mm-hmm.
from best I understand, was truly brilliant. I mean, the fact that they bring you to basically there's 3 points in which the game ends, and I don't want to. It's been out for a while, but
it's got a slightly Lord of the Rings feel almost. You know,
yeah,
that ending.
Yeah, like you complete the quest, you get to go home, stuff happens with your family,
and then the game's over.
But it's not.
But
really
it's not.
Over.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's true. There's the epilogue.
Yes, to anyone that hasn't played it yet, once you become the kid, someone in the town will give you the quest to actually get the end screen,
mm-hmm.
which to me was just completely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And but what you have there is a single ending. You can go through that games, not necessarily multiple ways. You could be good, you could be bad, but at the end of the day, you're going to get that same ending.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the Game of the Year edition is coming out for that here soon.
Oh, is
too.
It? Yeah.
And
there's a free, what's it, Miss and Mavericks or something like that?
Part of me kind of wants to pick it up again. I loved that game so much that I would go play it again.
As much as I have a sickness, you have a sickness.
Because I will replay games.
Yes, you will. That's just weird. But anyway, yeah, so I have been playing Space Marine as well. I am about 40% through the main storyline. It's apparently very short. It's about a 7-hour, 8-hour game. I'm playing it on hard because, of course, you get an achievement for finishing on a hard. And there's an achievement. This has got to be one of the most stringent achievements I have ever gotten. And what it is finish the first part of the game, which is about an hour and a half. So they break it up into acts, but they call them parts. So the first act of the game, which is about an hour and a half, on hard, without dying, in a single session. So you can't
on a
even
Tuesday.
It might as well have been. It might as well have been.
During a full moon.
Yeah, yeah. It might as well have been. Like,
if you're
like,
a girl, you have to have your period.
Yeah, it was so specific, and it was. And the real kick in the ass with it is I got more achievement points for getting the 250 headshots than I did for finishing the first part on hard without dying in a single session. The single session is what really kicked me in the ass, because it's like, that means I'd like plan. Yeah. I need to have at least 2 hours of uninterrupted game time to be able to do this achievement. So I ended up actually playing more of the multiplayer than I normally would have at this point, because if I only had 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Then I just go play multiplayer. If you like Gears of War, but you don't like cover, Space Marine is the game for you.
So this sounds terrible.
It's
because cover is everything in Gears of War.
Exactly. It's very Gears of War-ish. I mean, you know,
the big body armor, they're overblown dudes. You know, steroided up look.
Yep.
The only thing I haven't played yet, but I was looking at some gameplay footage today. Are they orcs or goblins?
They are orcs, and there are goblin-like creatures.
Yeah,
they're actually called Gretchen in the 40K universe.
They look crazy interesting because they could have done the grotesque way so easily,
mm-hmm.
but they made them look cartoony yet serious at the same time.
Do you mind?
I'm sorry.
What are you reading over there that you're giggling
for
about?
For the contest.
Oh, yeah. For the contest.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Well, then that's acceptable.
Yes.
So anyway, yeah, it's a very limited kind of palette in terms of the bad guys.
Yeah.
You've got a couple kinds of orcs. You've got the Gretchen. Later on, apparently, there's Chaos Space Marines, stuff like that.
Are they evil Space Marines?
They are.
Okay.
They're Chaos, and Chaos is evil.
Yes.
So
it is?
It is evil.
No.
In the 40K universe, it
my
is.
Life is evil.
I could have told you that anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's extremely gory. It's
I saw that in the video, just blood mist everywhere.
It is. It's and they do an interesting thing. So one of the big things behind this game mechanically is mixing, you know, ranged and close combat.
Yeah.
And there's no health packs in the game. There's you have a kind of an armor shield that regenerates if you don't get shot at for a while. But once you've passed that kind of armor shield, your hit points start to go away and there's no health packs. The only way you can heal up is by executing people, which is basically stunning. You know, you beat them up for a little bit and then you do like a kill combination and then it kills them in a very bloody fashion.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And that's the only way to heal. Other than
only life.
Does that make
arts.
Sense for the Warhammer?
Not a damn bit.
Okay.
It's, I mean, they did what they can with the mythology of the Space Marines to make that. If anything, if I want to get like super nitpicky, the chapter you're playing are these guys called the Ultramarines. The way that they, and this will only make sense to 40K players, the way that they kind of structure it, it would make more sense for them to be Blood Angels, which is one of the most emo sounding chapter names ever.
I just feel like it got super dorky.
It's super dorky.
My face is just developing acne as we speak right now.
Should.
Do you have any Cheetos?
But you know, the mix of close combat to firing, and they have a small variety of weapons. There's probably about a dozen different kinds of weapons.
Yeah.
And they're all pretty much the same, just different special effects.
This one has a hammer. This one has a sword.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very tight game. I mean, it doesn't do a lot of things fancy. It doesn't give you a lot of enemy types. It doesn't have a lot of crazy environments, but it does what it does extremely well.
From what I'm seeing in reviews, it looks like basically like a lot of, I'd say a few game reviews loved it, but as a whole, like a solid 7.5 offering.
And I think that's a fair,
yeah,
score. A lot of it has to do with how much you love that universe. And yeah. For me, I really, really enjoy the Warhammer 40K world. And
you would.
I would, yes. And to see, like, the Dawn of War games, and the same company that does the Dawn of War series of games for PC, as good as those were, it's nice to see this world done in a format that can get mass acceptance.
I just had this this absurd thought. They did what Blizzard wanted to do with StarCraft. Remember they were working on StarCraft Ghost, the kind of mm-hmm. first-person, third-person angle of the StarCraft universe?
Yep.
I mean, Dawn of War is kind of like StarCraft. It's your real-time strategy
yep.
game. And it seems like they've done that. They were able to make that world into something more different, a different way to access it.
Exactly. And this, to see this universe, to go and see, you know, a knob, which is an orc boss. They're called knobs. And there's a mega knob that you see briefly. I'm assuming he's one of the final bosses. I haven't gotten to
yeah.
him yet. They don't go into a lot of the orc terminology because it would highlight how silly a lot of their,
you know,
their terminology is.
For all the Warhammer or other geeky people out there I may have offended earlier with my dork comments, I do play War Machine.
Yes.
So I am familiar how just, you know, you're creating a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. You can't call them, you know, Death Spires, because that just sounds like something from everything else. You have
yeah.
to give it a unique name.
You gotta have a unique name. But to see stuff like, you know, fighting on an orc cruiser, or, you know, with the Space Marine jump packs, and like to see that stuff in a AAA title is really exciting from the perspective of a fan of that universe.
Yeah.
Like it's just really cool to see. In terms of the gameplay, there, like I said, there's no cover, and it's.
Is there a crouch at least?
No, there's no crouching.
Jesus, I suppose he has
Christ.
So much armor they just stand.
The closest you have is a combat roll, but there's no like snap to cover. There's nothing like that. You're just basically expected to take it. And in fact, the promotional campaign for this actually said cover is for the weak. Okay, but I can see people not liking that because like when basically your only defense is to kill whatever's attacking you.
You know, but I do that anyways.
I've seen a lot of advertisements going against the grain now, and I feel like that's what they're trying to do. Once Halo 2 kind of instituted that your health recharges,
mm-hmm.
everyone did it. Now you're starting to see games like Serious Sam say, no, health pack. You don't recharge. It's all about the health pack.
Yeah. And they have to reference Gears of War. I mean, that's the clearest competition with this. It's the clearest kind of you know, template for this kind of game.
Because yeah. next week everyone will forget this game exists.
Exactly.
They're very lucky they came out before Gears of War.
I'm sure they had a mandate, like, this needs to come out at least a couple weeks before.
Especially if it's only 7 hours of gameplay. People that are getting really ready for Gears, they can go play this. Gears comes out.
Now, where it's going to be interesting with this game is the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because it's only two modes right now. It's a capture point mode and a team deathmatch mode. They're adding a third version. They're a third mode called Exterminatus sometime next week, I want to say.
Yeah.
That will incorporate some RPG kind of elements, supposedly. I don't know a whole lot about that. And with the multiplayer, it's three. You get three classes. You get your tactical. You get your what are called devastators, which are kind of like the heavy weapons guys, and the assault class, which are the guys with the jetpacks, and they're kind of the close combat, run up, you know, kill people kind of bullshit. And they actually do a good job of balancing all three of those and making it so certain maps are good with certain classes.
Yeah.
So there's a couple maps that are more wide open kind of killing fields that do really well if you've got a lot of heavy weapons guys and tactical guys. There's other ones like the Basilica, I think that's what it's called, where it's very high, but it's narrow corridors. So you get a lot more jump pack guys in there because they can come down and you know, bomb people and do stuff like that. I think the perk system that they've got, I mean, they steal like from a lot of multiplayer games,
just like
now.
Everything.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, and the way that they dole out new abilities and new weapons, stuff like that, I think is really good. I'm only like level 4, which means I just unlocked the customizer, so I can have my armor. And again, if you are a 40K geek, you will love the customizer because it's like, oh, here's a list of 30 Space Marine chapters that you can just pick, and it automatically just changes your armor to that. And they've got Chaos Space Marines in the multiplayer, and it's got all of these different Chaos Space Marines. Like, oh, I can be Emperor's Children, which is hilarious to look at non-40K people look at the Chaos Space Marines, because there's a Chaos Space Marine chapter called the Emperor's Children, which in the storyline they follow kind of the God of Pleasure, and their colors are pink and black.
Oh, the Pink Lemonade Clan.
The Pink Lemonade Clan,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I saw that on one of the blogs.
Yeah, I think Kotaku did something about that. And it's hilarious because these guys are like real badasses in the fiction. Like they're just freaks, as one would expect from, you know, being bad guys under the service of the God of Pleasure. But them walking with, you know, pink and black armor is just, it's not very intimidating. But
until they school you.
Until I wish they would. What I would love is if they can bring in chapter specific guys, like chapter specific classes. So, you know, if you're Space Wolves, bring in the Long Fangs. If you're Emperor's Children, bring in the Noise Marines, which are hilarious because they've got like sonic weaponry, but they all look like 80s like metal musicians.
Oh, good.
So like the Sonic Blasters are basically guitars, like electric guitars. That just they're ridiculous looking, but I would love them to have that.
They sound ridiculous.
Yes. It's a great game. If you like Gears of War, this is definitely worth playing. It's definitely worth a rental, I would say that. And if you're a 40K fan or a Warhammer fan in any respect, get this game. It's what a lot of people are waiting for. This is actually the second game in the 40K universe that was kind of a big budget thing. There was a game that came out for PS2 called Fire Warrior, which nobody remembers because they decided to pick, oh, let's pick like the race that nobody knows of and is not analogous to anything anywhere else. They picked the Tau, which are basically like, oh, they're like fishmen. Like, really, this is the race you guys picked to be the main characters for this. So I think this is everything that the 40K video game players have been wanting for a long, long time. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And now that I've finished the first part, I think I tried about 20 times to get that achievement, because anytime I die, I have to completely start over. So I've done the tutorial way too many times, but now that I've gotten past that point, I can actually just, you know, play a little bit, die, and then just start from where I started again.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Checkpoints are amazing.
So, but I will talk a lot about that in the next probably week or two.
Oh, good.
Because that's all I'm gonna. Oh, shut up.
I think we found what. What Mike's Madden would be when, you know, when he talks about Madden, everyone gets glassy-eyed. think it's Space Marine for him.
See, the problem is that Gears comes out next week, so I'm kind of like, it's going to be this this constant battle of Space Marine. Nope, Gears.
No, I have nothing against Gears of War, and in a lot of ways, it is what it is. Like, they've got a very specific way of playing. This is just a little bit different kind of take on that.
I think
that
my
model.
Worry with a game like that, to at least for me, and I don't know if anybody else shares this, is because I don't know anything about the 40K universe because I never really played Warhammer.
Mm-hmm.
That I would feel like I'm missing out somehow, and so I'd play this game and it would be fun, but I'd be like, there's a lot I'm not getting. It's kind of like if you were to go watch the movie Serenity. Without ever I've watched Firefly.
I did that. I loved Serenity.
But it's like, if you go back, at least for me, in my psyche, I would be like, oh, I missed out on all this shit that they referenced that I have no idea about.
I agree with that feeling. I hope what they're doing here is playing service to the fans while being able to attract new people. Because, like, the thing about the whole, Eden's Children or whatever it was?
Emperor's Children.
Emperor's Children. I wouldn't get that.
And that's not in the storyline. Yeah. This is just in multiplayer. So, I mean,
I'm guessing what you need to know for the storyline is big dudes in blue armor want to smash green things.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's obvious references to stuff, and they kind of have side, you know, they'll be passing, you know, references to things like, you know, a tech priest and things like that, which won't mean a whole lot to people, but there's enough meat there where if you know nothing about this universe, you can get your way through it and still enjoy it. And in the end, it's also, oh, I'm going to grab a guy by his lower jaw and shove a chainsaw into his face. Like, that does sound amazing. Yeah, that's pretty universal. So yeah. It's just, you know,
vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I mean, there is quite a bit of fan service. And I think they do an admirable job of kind of giving you enough to go on where you can kind of at least understand what's going on. I'm just meeting a character just now that looks a lot like Gary Oldman's character in Fifth Element.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind
that's
of...
That's such a good look for him.
It is
yeah.
a good
so
look.
Weird.
It is a good look. But it's kind of funny because I just can't take this character... Because he's supposed to be this really important guy and he's just got the haircut from Fifth Element. It's just, no.
Yeah, it's a very delicate balance to try and hit between like the fan service and that. Remember, from what I heard, when Kevin Smith tried to write a Superman script. From what I heard, is if you understand everything about the Superman universe, it's awesome. If you're coming off the street hoping for Superman movie, it's awful. You got to definitely toe that delicate line where you're giving the people who know the universe enough clues so that like, oh, that's a tech priest, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like, I'm guessing like they do hardware or they give me healing or something like that. You know, mm-hmm. like they serve some fundamental thing where we just call them the context will be able to set forth why the name means it.
Yep.
Ian, you're a tech priest.
If you're at all confused about how like people react with each other, basically think like a medieval feudal society and the Space Marines are the knights and the lords. So once you get that, kind of everything sort of makes sense. So... But again, I highly recommend it.
I'm looking forward to playing it. I'm gonna see if it ever goes on sale on Steam. I think that's my plan for that. And Dead Island is waiting for the Steam sale now because they come around so often. You know it's gonna hit eventually.
It's gonna happen eventually.
Or I just wait for Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. Like, yeah.
Fuck it, $39.
Yeah. Yeah, Amazon's another one. Deus Ex just went on Amazon for
$35.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
I thought about that, but I had Drakes to play. So
yeah, fair enough. All right. Speaking of Space Marine, though, we've got some winners of our Space Marine contest. It was easily our most submitted contest ever, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we got a bunch of new people that are listening to us because of the contest, so welcome.
So now do they have to listen to this to actually redeem their victory?
No, we will contact them. We've done that before where we require people to listen. And the problem is we have no idea when these people will listen to these shows.
Right.
If it's like me, it's 3 weeks late.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be contacting you in addition. But I think we've got there's a couple of people I want to mention. We had 5 Steam codes for this. And the people that were, I think we've all kind of looked at the answers. And pretty much all of the answers were awesome. Like, Mike was cackling about them earlier.
Mike, which one were you laughing about?
I am a big fan of Brian's submission of The Righteous Hate and Evan's Hateful Five. Oh, yeah, that was,
you know what's funny?
That's kind of my...
You know what's funny? So many of these would work as Chaos Space Marines, which given the fact that the contest was which chapter would we be in, I don't know how I should Evan's Hateful Five sounds like a band, actually, to
yeah.
me. Like
funny
a, like
you
a,
should, yeah, because Neff basically said in his at the end, I'll stop because at this point I'm not sure if I'm doing Space Marine chapters or fake band names.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and there's really not a huge difference. No. Yeah. So a couple people, let's see, I think we have five codes, and I'm going to make sure I actually do five people here. So if it, we'll double check. I do definitely one of the winners is Oregon Slacker. For no other reason than just he had the most. I think he had about 12.
My favorite for him was Angels of Debauchery.
Angels of Debauchery is good. I do like the sharp dressed war beavers. That's just
that's a good one. You should tell people what the actual the contest was, so if anybody
yes.
didn't know about it.
Yeah, the contest was basically come up with a Space Marine chapter that would accept the Yet Another Gaming Show cast.
Yes.
So, which very few people actually did. It was more just coming up with creative names, which is fine with me. I'm cool with that. Yeah. So, Oregon Slacker, some of my favorites again. The sharp dressed war beavers, the Barbarians of Swank, which I think is going to be an actual band name.
We should be the Barbarians of Skank, though.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's a good one.
I'm trying to remember all of, and my tablet just literally ran out of power. So.
Oh, well, I know one of my favorites was from Neff, the Rageaholics, because I think one of the things Mike and I talk about is rage quitting, you know, mad and raging. Mm-hmm. I think that very much exemplifies what we are, is we are rageaholics on this show.
He also had another one in the comments, and I don't have it in front of me now to look at, that I really enjoyed. Now I'm being passed the magic.
So far...
Is the dystopian eunuch raiders of the fridge.
Yes. He knows we're all big guys.
Yeah. Well, I've met him. Okay. So he knows of my girth. That sounds really bad now that I see it. Anyway.
So
Oregon Slacker gets one. I did want to do, let's see, I think his name was Vin.
Vin H. had one of my favorite ones that was, I'm probably going to butcher this, the MacRaggies Cuddly Smurfs.
Yeah, it's McCraig.
McCraig's and Cuddly Smurfs.
And I know Vin is a 40K guy because McCraig is actually the home planet of the Space Marines. So, and the fact that he called them Smurfs even more, I know this guy is a 40K player, so I gotta give him one.
Nice.
So we got Oregon Slacker.
We got Oregon Slacker, Vin. Hey. There was the Imperial Kickers. I forget who said that one, but that one just made me giggle.
Let me see if I can find that here. That was Sam Kicks.
Yeah, Sam Kicks. So it's appropriate that his was the Imperial Kickers. Can I see this real quick?
Yeah,
watch. Because I had them all written down and
I watched that was Chloe.
Let's see here. I also like the Emperor's Crushing Fist.
I love that one.
Because I think that's probably the closest to the actual contest of all of them. So definitely want to give him one. And then
that was from what, Steve?
That one was from Steve Huron.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're going for in that one. And then there was another one that I really dug. Oh, Phil. Our good friend Phil, even though he's our friend, but I didn't realize this was him when I liked this one. But the Fighting Nutria, which is a very humorous. If you don't know what a nutria is, just Google it. It's terrifying looking. So all five of you, I'll be contacting you with your codes for Steam Space Marine. Again, huge thanks to everyone that submitted stuff. They were all fantastic.
Yeah, it was hard to choose. They were all really
funny.
Was.
Yeah. It was extremely hard. And we're going to actually see if we can get... you just stop it over there, Beavis. we're going to actually see if we can get everyone something. I've been talking with the THQ guys, and we're going to see if we can get you guys something for everyone that applied or submitted or entered or... What? What are you giggling about?
I don't know. I'm losing it.
Okay.
It's that time of night.
It is that time of night, yeah. I guess. So again, thank you guys so much for all of that. And all of you guys that are new that found us through various Twitter posts and things like that, welcome. Thank you for listening to the show, and hopefully you guys stick around. I've talked to a couple of you guys through Twitter and things like that, and it's always nice. What I like is I talked to a couple of people that are like, yeah, I've been listening for weeks, but now I finally decided to talk to you guys, and you know, if you've been listening to us for a long time, let us know. We love talking to you guys, even if it's one of the guys was giving me crap about last week saying that Mega Man 2 wasn't beaten or it wasn't possible to be beaten.
Yeah, literally.
I'm sure someone's gonna give me crap for not remembering that Gears of War 3 comes out this month, which makes me really happy because then I'm going to buy it. But
yeah, you're a huge like Gears of War rube.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll just say, starting a new job doesn't help.
Yeah. I'll just say what I told him about Mega Man 2 is I treat it like dating Morgan Webb because I can't do it. Clearly no one can ever do it. So that's why Mega Man 2 has never been beaten.
And that's kind of like me with Contra.
Yeah,
but yeah,
no one's ever beaten Contra.
But yours is the first level of Contra.
Yeah, there's
not
nothing
the
more
game,
than one level.
Just the first
there's
level.
No, there's no other. I think the game is broken.
Yeah. you should write a Konami. Did Konami put that out?
Yeah, Konami.
Yeah, you should write them a letter. Date it today, though. I think Contra's broken.
Okay. Please fix. Yeah.
Either my emulator is or, you know, whatever.
No, you...
But yeah, no, seriously, I love talking with people. It's a lot of fun, and you keep me entertained at work. Even though,
yes,
I probably shouldn't be doing that at work. But
So thank you everyone that answered. Thank you everyone that listens to the show every week and tells your friends about us and submits us to all the various aggregators and all that great stuff. We appreciate it more than we can mention.
Mm-hmm.
On that giving note, I also want to thank my lovely co-hosts. We got Ashley. Hey, thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. As always, make sure you're checking out our Tumblr, which. We have is just fancypantsgangsters.tumblr.com and
no,
check out
yet another gaming show.tumblr.com.
Don't we have a Fancy Pants one though?
We do, but we haven't done anything with it in months. So
fine. Well, both of them. Check out, follow both of them.
That's true.
Yep. Yet another gaming show.tumblr.com.
All right. Also, thanks to Mike Dineen.
Yes. Thank you again, everyone, for listening, especially anybody who found us on Game Grep and N4G specifically. I've been trying to throw the shows up on those sites a lot right now. So welcome and thank you much for checking us out. Also wanted to direct all of you, of course, to the Twitter page, which is YAGSFPG. You can also check us out on Facebook. Just look us up at Yet Another Gaming Show.
All right. And also big thanks to Ian Anderson.
You're welcome. We have shop.fancypantsgangsters.com for all your t-shirt needs so you don't walk around the world naked.
We have no pants, though.
Yeah, we have no pants, so you have to cover that from your local thread store.
Your local pantsery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pantseria.
Pantseria. Well, yeah. This isn't Italy.
Yeah, and also
what about our Italian listeners?
We do have some Italian listeners. So
well, there you go.
For your Italian listeners, go to your pantserias.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a pizzeria?
Something. That was the joke. That was the joke, yes.
Oh. Wait, way to ruin it, Ian.
Yeah, thanks,
oh,
Ian.
Good. That's what I do best. Yeah. But like Ashley said, we are looking at putting more content up on our Tumblr feed. So, you know, do find us on Twitter and let us know what you want us to be reporting on. I personally am looking for a few writing assignments. So if you want me to write on something specifically, find me at Twitter at Insane Show.
Write about the mythical second level of Contra.
It doesn't exist.
I'll need to get to it first. I could make it up.
I am
it's
going
a corridor,
to,
no
I'm
enemies.
I'm going to as well.
We're not going to talk about it too much this week. We're going to have because we're going to have a ton to talk about next week about our Extra Life stuff. I've been working it out with Gene. Everything is go for working with Games and Go, and we got a lot of cool stuff planned. And also, I want to give a quick mention. There's another gaming charity going on in November. It's called Skulls for Tots, which is an awesome name in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And our good buddy Chris Cluey is going to be involved with that as well. I shouldn't say as well because I don't think he's going to be involved with our Extra Life thing. I don't want to, you know, put words in his mouth quite yet. But we'll talk all about the Extra Life next week, and I'm really looking forward to it. Again, it's October 8th is when we're going to be doing it. You can check out more details at extra-life.org/team/YAGS. And we actually had a couple questions about people that wanted to join our team. Go right ahead. If you want to join our team, you're more than welcome to. And we're actually going to be working out some prizes and stuff like that for people that raise some money on our team as well. We're still going to have our bet among the hosts in terms of who can raise the most money.
I'm winning right now.
So if you aren't planning on actually playing during the Extra Life thing, go ahead and donate to any of the hosts because that will be that'll be a way that we can humiliate each other.
And you know what, guys? You can literally help us out for as much as $12. I mean, that's, you know, the, you know, minimum thing on there.
Is that the minimum thing?
I think you can actually,
It's a like 50 cents an hour because you're pledging for 24 hours.
Right. You mean, you know, if you can give us 24, that's awesome. I mean, any little bit you can help out for any of the hosts. And like I said, at the end of the day, it's all going to the same pool. All the money is going for kids,
yeah,
guys.
I mean, right. We won't see a red cent.
Yeah,
in it, so.
We won't.
No,
see
we
a red
will probably
cent
end up negative money personally because I'll have to get a lot of caffeine in me.
Right,
but that's half the fun. I'm looking forward to drinking like an 8-pack of Red Bull.
I'm waiting for 3 in the morning when I start playing Child of Eden. Awesome. I'm just like, what the hell is going on, man?
I'm gonna try to track down one of those beer helmets.
Now we should try
just put Nas in the beer helmets.
Now we should do something like a Google Hangout for everyone that does join the team remotely that wants to be a part of the game action. At least,
yeah.
You know, get maybe IRC going or Google Hangout, yep, so we can at least all be a part of the same virtual room. And
exactly. All of which we will talk about next week.
Right.
Because remember, I said we were going to talk about very
little. I'm getting
this week.
Excited and getting nerdy.
I am
okay.
too. And yeah.
Stay tuned for next week.
And guys, just let everybody know too, I actually am going to have a video coming out in the next week or two involving Extra Life as well. So I'll make sure to check, post that on our Tumblr and post
excellent.
It wherever
cool.
on the site as well. So yeah.
All right. Yeah, we got nothing else. We're literally out of words.
Yeah.
So thank you guys once again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I was more zoning out.